Bob, let's start with the Kentucky Derby. Take a look back at that race, and you described it as a good stiff test for American Pharoah. Take me through the race.
Well, it was. You know, they both broke well. I saw the Dortmund. He made his move to the rail. Took an easy lead. He was in a good spot. American Pharoah, he had to work his way down, being from the outside, and he was coming in. He was trying to get in as close as he could because he didn't want to get hung five wide because we were worried about Mr. Z, you know, taking him out. He used him up a little bit to get in front of him, and then once we went around the first turn, I was really happy the way we were. You know, I had a feeling Firing Line was going to be right there, stalking Dortmund, so I was really happy with my with the way they were. And down the backside, it really looked like Dortmund was like, I thought, well, maybe he's going to do it because he's just really moving nicely. And Gary's sitting there just tracking him. He had a lot of horse. And then Pharoah didn't seem as comfortable down the backside. He didn't, to me, he wasn't really, he was having the loose rein. It was like, I could tell he was like niggling him a little bit, like not the Pharoah that we know. And then when they were coming past the 3/8, about the 2.5, you could see that Gary Stevens was loaded. I could tell he was loaded full of horse, and Firing Line was going to run a big one. And Dortmund was like, he looked like he was starting to, having to lean on him a little bit. And then when I noticed, right when I saw it, I heard Larry Colmo say that American Pharoah is having to be ridden along. And I thought, wow, you know, maybe he's done. You know, I was like, for an instant there, I thought, maybe he's struggling. You know, this is not the Pharoah that we know. I mean, what, you know, he's supposed to loom up. And then turning for home, he came wide with him and had started getting into him pretty well, pretty good. And so but I could see he was, you know, he didn't look like he was running like a tired horse. He was running like a horse that was just, like, wasn't really focusing on what he was supposed to do. And Gary's horse was just on his belly running hard, and Pharoah was still running with his ears, like he was just cruising up to him, like, and I could tell he was having trouble getting by him. And then finally he got by him there at the end. I was so relieved. But it was a strange race for American Pharoah, the way he was, like, I don't know if it was the noise or whatever, or the track he was struggling with or whatever, but he was definitely struggling. So, you know, he won because he's such a good horse. You know, so I don't know if that was his A race, but he did run, you know, he ran fast enough to win.
2 weeks ago, you're sitting at the post draw for the Kentucky Derby. You're down to the final two pills. You have post 18, you have post 1 with American Pharoah. You didn't want the post 1. You got 18. You couldn't avoid the one hole in the Preakness, though.
Well, if my good friend Mike Pegram would have been sitting with me yesterday, the first words out of his mouth would have said, "We get a better price." So that's the way you got to look at it. So, you know, I was so lucky in Kentucky. I got a good post there. We're down the inside. You know, they're fast horses. I hate to see 1-2 like that right together. But, you know, once it's drawn, you just can't worry about it. You just got to, you deal with it and hope your horses are doing fine. If they fire, they'll run well.
So much of what's involved with winning the Preakness, as you well know, is getting your horse to peak again 2 weeks later after that maximum effort in the Kentucky Derby. What's the key?
The key is having really good horses and having them just healthy and happy and, you know, trying not to overdo it. So we just go in there and they went on the track today. They look happy. They look strong. So I was very encouraged what I saw here. The track, it's a deeper, softer track here, but he went over really nice. I mean, he just really moves over the ground nice.
With your two horses, the Derby winner American Pharoah drawing the one hole, Dortmund right to his outside in post 2, does it change your strategy at all going into the Preakness?
Well, the strategy, you don't have a strategy until after the draw, but I'll sit down with the riders and, you know, I'll ask their opinions, how they feel, what would make their horse, you know, happier, more relaxed. So I think it's up to them. They know their horses, and they're going to put them in situations where they feel more at ease with. It's really not my call to tell them, you know, you need to do this or that. They're pretty good riders. They know their horses, and they know what their horses like, what they don't like. So I leave it up to them.
How about for you, Bob, with everything you've been through in your personal life with the heart attack and having to come back from that, now feeling very, very well, do you tend to cherish these types of races and maybe enjoy them a bit more than you used to in the past?
Well, I think as I get older, I think I learn to appreciate this because, you know, the older you get, and I've had really good chances. I look back, I had a chance to win 7 or 8 derbies, and we didn't get it done. And so then you get to think, well, maybe I'll never win another one. It's so tough. These races are really hard to win, especially the Derby. So it's tough. And so the Preakness has always been my favorite race because it's fun. There's less pressure and everybody's having a good time. And, you know, it's like there's no drama. You don't have to worry about groveling for tickets like you do in Derby time. And so it's fun. So it's a Preakness is the only place you come here, win, lose, or draw. You're going to leave here in a very positive mode. You feel good about your sport. You feel good about Baltimore. You feel good about Pimlico. It's a fun atmosphere.
Good luck in the middle, Jewel.
Thank you very much.